Well, good morning. Good to see so many of you here this morning. Glad to have those on Zoom joining us as well. I want to highlight just a few of the announcements, and then we'll get into why we're here to worship the Lord. The first thing that I need to do is make sure that you know that we will not be having our congregational meeting after church today. We didn't get the estimates that we were hoping, so we're waiting on those. We got delayed. We will let you know. We'll give you another two-week notice, but there's no congregational meeting today after church. So just highlighting some of the other things that are in here. Don't forget about the spaghetti supper. There is no evening Bible study tonight, just because I have something else that I'm going to, the ordination of one of our fellow pastors up in the Northeast District. So no evening Bible study tonight. And then a few new things. Hopefully you saw the slides up there. Trunk or treat. We're in October now. Today's the 1st of October already. So trunk or treat. You see that in here, October 31st. Think about decorating your vehicle and in some way sharing the light of the gospel with everybody on that dark evening. We also have some interest in going to see Tim Hawkins live. If you don't know him, he's a comedian, likes to make fun of songs, likes to change the words of song, parody different songs. And just he's considered to be a Christian comedian. So we have he's coming to a church that's down in Camp Hill, CLA, Christian Life Assembly. So we saw the opportunity. If you're interested, please, I think we have a sign-up sheet. Yep, we have a sign-up sheet out there, so please sign up for those. The tickets are $35.12, and the church will pay for any children or youth for this thing. So if we can go as a group, or if you go individually, we'll be glad to see you there, and hopefully we can sit with you. So anyhow, that's something that's coming up, new thing. And then don't forget that Operation Christmas Child is coming up soon, and there's a paragraph in there from Franklin Graham to remind you of why that's so important. And we always look forward to having those shoeboxes filled with gifts to go to other countries. Is there anything else that we ought to share? Anything else that we need to share with the family? Okay, well then I'll ask you to just calm your hearts and let's pause for a second and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're here, we're gathered. Now is the time for worship. We are happy to be here. It's a joy to be here in your presence with fellow believers. We're here united in fellowship to praise you and to worship you for all that you are and all the wonderful things that you do for us. And so, Father, I pray that everything that we do here today, everything we sing, say, and do would be to your honor and to your glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For our call to worship, it's a verse that might be familiar to you because we had it just a few weeks ago in a sermon, and I paused when I got there, but I want to pause just a little bit longer on it this morning. It's just one verse where Peter was talking to the people that had, I guess you could just say, they had really messed up. But he told them to repent then and turn to God. And before I go too much farther, the idea of this is that that wasn't the end for them. They had an opportunity. Yeah, they messed up. And so maybe some of you have come here this morning still carrying some kind of a burden, something that you feel like, man, I really messed up. And I just can't let that go. God couldn't possibly love me. He couldn't possibly forgive me. Or maybe it's not one big thing. Maybe there's just something that you just can't seem to get rid of. Something that just wears you down. And so it says, repent, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. God is faithful. He will forgive that sin. This is talking about forgiveness. And so if you truly repent, he will wipe that sin away. And then the part that I really want us to pause on here is the following then. You repent, God will forgive. It says, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You give up that burden, you give up that weight of all that sin, whatever it is that just you just can't seem to get rid of. You repent of that, He forgives you, and it's so refreshing. And we're going to sing about that this morning. So I invite you to stand, and let's sing along with our praise band this morning.
People will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know, but I pray that you will be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with the fullness of God.
Beyond all measure.
treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mark the chosen one bring many sons to
you take a little extra time. I know that I ask you to look at your neighbor, tell them you're glad you're here. This time, I'd like you, if you're able, to get up from your spot and go over to some other spot and tell somebody you are glad that they're here, okay? Good morning.
Well, and that's where
I'm going to say,
creation, a new thing. If I ever was going to do a drawing for you someday, what would you want me to do?
Okay, I'm just... Thank you for doing all that. I'm going to ask you to kind of find your way back. What's that? No, I like it.
You know, it changes. Your taste changes.
Did you ever bring a picture of you?
I didn't. I got to find it. It's at Mom's house. I did say that.
Yeah, I could be from it, too.
Morning, Kurt.
She's probably asleep.
Probably not.
All right. I love the fellowship, and that's what we've been learning about. So we're going to talk about it again today. This unity in fellowship. And you know what? I'm going to do one more crazy thing. I'm going to ask all of you, anybody who's able, I'm going to ask you to stand up, and I'm going to ask Jeff to be ready back there, because I'm going to ask you to stand up and turn around, because you know it's not just us who are here. It's those that are on Zoom. They're with us as well. They're worshiping with us as well. So I want you to stand up, turn around, and let them know that they're part of the fellowship as well. All right. All right. You can be seated. Hey, we'd love to have them here with us, but we know there's reasons why they can't, but that doesn't mean they're not part of this fellowship. And so we want to make sure that everybody understands that. So now it's time to take some opportunities to lift up praises and prayer requests. I love praises. I love prayer requests too, but I love to hear the praises. Any praises that we have from this week?
Chris and I are married 40 years today.
Well, congratulations. Excellent.
I want to thank everyone for their prayers. They worked.
Okay, yes. Praise the Lord.
Last night, I think, was a great time, our potluck supper, and all the people from Interfaith and Palm View. It was just fun, and I really think they enjoyed it. And I thank Brenda for getting this all together and doing all that stuff, and everybody else that really pitched in, SOS.
Yeah. Any other praises or... any prayer requests? Oh, over here.
I have a request. My daughter, which is only 41, had a stroke, and they're having a little problem at home that you just pray for them.
And what's your daughter's name, I'm sorry?
Tiffany.
Tiffany, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Georgine is down to the last seven of her 30 radiation treatments, and she's handling it all quite well with very minimal side effects. So we thank God for that.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Oh, got one.
From Zoom, Jim says, please pray my A1C has improved and I've gotten more hours to work.
He got them or we pray for more?
No, he's actually said, my A1C has improved and I've gotten more hours to
Excellent.
Work.
Excellent, so wonderful. Thank okay. You. Wonderful, okay. Okay, well let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, first of all, we want to thank you just for this day. We don't want to take anything for granted. We thank you that you have gifted us with a new day to enjoy and to serve you. You've heard the praises that were lifted. We thank you for all the ways you have blessed us. We thank you especially for the way that you blessed us by allowing us to bless Palmview and Interfaith Manor last night. We just had a wonderful time with them. It was a great time of fellowship and fun, and I just know that that's the kind of thing that you want to bless, and I just feel that, and I thank you for doing that, for blessing that for us. That were mentioned, we pray for Tiffany, and her stroke. I pray that you are able to work through the doctors that are helping her. I pray for her swift recovery and that your healing touch would just remove any complications of that stroke. We thank you for the way that you are healing Georgine and the way you're giving her strength to get through these treatments. We just ask for continued strength, comfort, as she goes through her final 7 days of this treatment. And we praise you for the way that you are working in Jim's life, that not only his physical body is improving and the numbers are getting better for his body, but that you're also helping him out with his environment, his situation. Thank you for giving him more hours at his job. Father, I just pray in general for all those who are hey, or who are having pains and are recovering from surgeries, whatever the case may be. I lift them up and I pray that you will touch them, heal them, comfort them, whatever is needed, that you will provide for them. We thank you for the way that you watch over us and provide for us each week. And we give back a portion of that right off the top for you, because we know that everything comes from you. And we just ask you to accept it and to bless it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue worshiping by singing our next hymn, hymn 355. Yes, we do. Well, this morning, I want to start by sharing a little personal interest story, a human interest story that I found. It's not a funny, but it's just a cute little story about a pastor. He was telling about one of the little boys that would come as he's leaving, would come by and, you know, say goodbye. And one morning, one Sunday morning, he came by and he was opening up a little pack of Smarties. You know, those little chalky discs, they're nothing but sugar, but they're little candies in a little clear plastic kind of thing. Anyhow, he's opening one of those packs of Smarties, and he's walking by, and the pastor says, "Oh, are those Smarties?" And the boy says, "Yes." And he says, "Could I have one?" And so sure enough, the boy goes ahead and gives him a Smartie and walks out. And the next Sunday, as the little boy's leaving, without even asking, the little boy hands the pastor another Smartie. And he says, "Thank you." And the next Sunday, sure enough, another Smartie. Well, you know, he did that every Sunday for 2 years. That on his way out, he was sharing a Smartie with his pastor. Nobody told him that he needed to do that. Nobody told him that it was the right thing to do. This little boy was doing it just because, I don't know, he saw the enjoyment that the pastor got when he gave him one, or just because he cared about his pastor. He was sharing one of his Smarties because he cared. And that's the theme of this morning's set of verses, that sharing is caring. We're going to see this morning as we continue reading through the book of Acts, and we're at verse 32 this morning, but we're going to see how Luke sort of changes our focus, changes our perspective. He's been giving us some very specific instances that were happening to some very specific people, and we were getting some details about what was happening day by day. Well, now he sort of stops and pans back a little bit, pans out, gives us a bigger picture, a wider picture of this, of what's going on with this new church. You know, he's gone through the development of it, the birth of it, the growth, the exponential growth, the persecution now. But it seems like he wants to give us an idea of just why this church is, or I should say how this church is performing. We know why. It's because they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. We read that. They've been praying for boldness. They got boldness. And they pray they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So we know that that's why they are flourishing. But he's also giving us an opportunity here to see how they interact. What does it look like that they were a flourishing church? And so we start off in verse 32, where he says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Now, this doesn't mean that they were robots. It doesn't mean that they all dressed the same, looked the same, talked the same. It doesn't even mean that they all had the same preferences or opinions. But what it does mean is that they weren't thinking about self first. They were thinking about kingdom first. I don't even think they were thinking about their own little organization first. Now, they didn't have separate churches like we do today, but if we relate it to today's situation, they weren't thinking about our organization first. They weren't thinking about themselves first. They were kingdom-focused. They were thinking about the big things. They were keeping the first thing first. They were all in one heart and mind. They agreed on what needed to be done to promote the kingdom, to build the kingdom. So even if they had a different opinion, as they would talk about things and discuss things and maybe even argue a little bit about things and debate about things, whatever was decided, okay, that's the way we're going to move forward. And we know that's a challenge, isn't it? We know how the 21st century church is a whole lot different. And every single church has something in their history where there was a decision that was made and 20 or 30 people didn't like it, and they left. And it's every church. I'm not picking on 20 or 30 people from this church. I'm saying every church has that in their history. And I'm not saying that they were right or wrong, but the point is, if we would stay kingdom-focused instead of self-focused or even organization-focused, I think we would be more like this first-century church. All believers, one heart and one mind. We try to be that way. Our denomination has a mission statement to know Christ and to make him known. And this is what we should all be focused on. You know, John Wesley, when he was talking about this particular verse and about these believers, he says their loves, their hopes, and their passions were joined. And that's where, if our passions and our love and our hopes are all focused on the kingdom, it's going to be a whole lot easier to get along and move forward together than if we're thinking about our own loves and our own passions. And man, it's never warm enough in church, or it's never cold enough in church, or I don't like the way those people do this, or I don't like the way those, you know, it's all about I don't like this, or I don't like that. We know that there's people out there, they call it church shopping. They go around, and these pews just don't feel comfortable enough. I could never go to a church like this. We have to be more concerned about God than our own comfort necessarily. So we want to know Christ and make him known. That's what the denomination says. Well, even our own purpose, our own mission, it says we're a group of people. That would be a fellowship of believers who know Christ. So we know Christ, and we're committed, and I like that word. I hope we should underline that. You know, we are. It says we're committed. I hope we're all committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the part means to make him known, so that everyone may experience saving faith in Jesus. We're committed to evangelism, is what this says. We're committed to know Christ and to make him known. Now, for today's purpose, for today's text, I also want to point out that in that mission statement, it says that we're committed to sharing. And we want to share because we care. Sharing is caring. We want to share this good news with people, not just because that's what we're supposed to do. And if I want to be a good church member, well, then I need to be able to come back and say, hey, I talked to 3 people this week about Christ. I can check off the box. No. Sharing is caring. That means you love and you care about the person that you're talking to. You're worried about them, and you want to give them this good news for a reason. And this first church was so unified that the next statement is, in that same verse, it says, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Wow. They recognized that nothing they owned was their own. They recognized they were just stewards. And that's something that we have a lot of trouble with as well here in the 21st century, suffering from affluenza, I call it. We have so much, and we work hard for so much. And then when we finally attain it, man, we hold on to it tight because we worked so hard. We earned it. This is mine. And every now and then, you get a tap on the shoulder, and God says, what if you had to give that up? Are you ready to release that? But they recognized that everything they had was from God, that nothing was their own possession. And then he kind of just takes a little break here in verse 33 and says, with great power, or that would be boldness, we've been talking about boldness, with great power, boldness, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what they were focused on. That's what they were telling everyone about. That's what they were preaching, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And they had asked for boldness, they were given boldness, and here we see that they were continuing to testify with great boldness. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. When you look at this and you look at the original Greek, they're talking about the power, this so powerfully. That goes along with the word grace. And it's almost like it's saying with God's mega grace or God's uber grace, just so much grace and so powerful grace that was at work in them all. It goes to verse 34. That there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, verse 35, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that they were selling off things that they had in order to make sure there were no needy among them. Now, they weren't selling their primary residences, or then they would end up on the needy list. You know, these are people who have extra land. Someone who's a landlord has an extra house, an extra property. And they were recognized, and they weren't just selling it off at the beginning and creating some large stockpile. It says from time to time. It was as a need arose. We see a need, well, I can help you out with that. And they would sell their property. I know that occasionally here, you know, we'll come into class and there might be somebody has brought some peaches or some cucumbers or tomatoes, whatever. And those are wonderful. You know, this is a wonderful act of sharing. We're sharing what we have. Even on Sunday, many Sundays as we're leaving, we're asked if we need some eggs. and that's a wonderful act of sharing. And we do that sort of thing, and it's excellent. It's beautiful. But think about how radical this is. Has anyone ever sold off an extra house and took the money and gave it to the church and said, hey, keep this in case there's anybody who has a need? That just feels so weird today, doesn't it? You worked so hard to get that house, right? It might have taken years. You saved up money to get that second house, that vacation home, whatever it is. That's what these people were doing. You have a piece of land that someday you're hoping it's an investment that someday down the road you can sell it off, use the money for retirement, something like that. That's the American dream. It's the American way. But what they're telling us here is that maybe there ought to be the thought of selling it off to help someone in need within the church. It's a really radical thought, isn't it? And it really makes us uncomfortable. But I can guarantee you that we have needy in the church. Then they give us this wonderful example of a person who did just what they're talking about here. Joseph, and Joseph was a very common name. That's why they ended up giving him one of the reasons they would give him a nickname. It also just went along with his personality. But Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So this guy must have been one that's always lifting people up, you know, he's just a pleasure to be around. And so we're going to start calling him Barnabas, son of encouragement. Hey, son of encouragement, how are you doing? He sold a field, verse 37, sold a field he owned, and he brought the money and he put it at the apostles' feet. He had some land. The church had a need, someone in the church had a need, he sold it off. And he brought it back, brought the money back to the church and said, here, use it to help the needy. That's the way it's supposed to work. Next week we'll see someone who didn't do it quite right, and we'll see the consequences there. But this is the way that this first century church was flourishing. This is how they were able to keep moving, keep living together, worshiping together, and keep flourishing as a koinonia, it's called. This fellowship of believers. Now, koinonia is not a Greek word for communism, and then maybe this was what this sounds like to you. That okay, if you've got something, you got to share it with the group. That's communism. That's forced. That's mandated. That's when the government says, what's yours is ours. This is Christianity. This is voluntary. This is us with joy in our hearts saying, hey, what's mine is yours. I want to give it up. I want to give you my Smarties because I love you, not because you told me I have to give them to you. That's the difference here. These are people who care about each other, and they're unified in their fellowship. And I can tell you that they're not just getting together on a Saturday, you know, or like in our case, not just getting together on a Sunday morning. The reason that they care about each other is because they know each other so well, because they're getting together almost every day. They're just doing life together. Now, it's easier for them because chances are they live closer together. Now, as we're talking about 5,000 or more, now we're getting a little spread out here. But they know each other so well because they keep in touch with each other. And they're rubbing elbows as they're out there making bread together and things like that every single day. And they know when there's a need and they take care of the need. And the people weren't embarrassed or ashamed to let other people know that they had a need. This was a way that these early Christians and just Christianity itself was leveling the playing field. You should not be able to walk into a church and see who's upper middle class and who's lower class in today's society, using today's society class labels. There should be no difference. And if this person is needy and you see it and this person sees it, they ought to be able to do something to level that playing field so that when you walk in, everybody looks the same in the sense of how we all are just doing well together, doing well living together, that there's no needy among us. True unified fellowship will level the playing field. There's no place for social classes in the church. So unity in fellowship, which is what we've been talking about even from last week as well, they were so unified in their fellowship, and it leads to caring then through sharing. This is a model that God gave to us, and all we're doing is just reciprocating, or we're just mocking, or we're just doing what we see as taught by God. Because remember, for God so loved the world, that means he cared, that he gave, he shared his son so that we could have everlasting life with him. That's unified fellowship with him forever. When we're unified in fellowship, we care enough to share. He cared enough to share so that we could have unified fellowship with him. And today, we celebrate all of this through the sacrament of communion. We remember why the Son of God was shared with us. He gave us, remember? He gave us his Son. And we remember why this happened today. And also, today is worldwide communion. So every church in the world, every Christian church throughout the entire world is remembering why Jesus, or the Son of God who became the man Jesus, why he was shared with us. And so today, we don't just share the sacrament with Jesus. He's always at the table with us. But today, we're also sharing this sacrament of communion with every other single believer in the entire world. And so let's come to the table. We're going to share communion. Actually, we're going to be bringing communion to you in the pews. But in the figurative sense, you're coming to the table. So when you come to the table today, recognize what God did to share with you, how he's sharing with you because he cares about you, and how we can worship him by doing the same back to others that he has created as well. Before we actually share in the communion, let's share in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, because of your tender mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. And by the offering of himself, suffering once, made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the world. And in his gospel, he has instituted a memorial of his death, and instructed that we continue it until his coming again. And so, gracious Father, we come to this table trusting in your great mercies. May we receive this sacrament with devout, believing, and grateful hearts as we receive the bread and the juice in memory of his passion. May his death be ever before us, quickening us to a holy resolve to hate sin, to love Christ, and to serve you through him. Amen. I'll ask the ushers to come forward. They will be bringing the trays to you. They'll be in the rows looking left and right. So if they ask you to pass it down, go ahead and do that. And the person at the other end will get it and keep it moving then. Go ahead, serve God's people. In the night in which he was betrayed, we know that the Lord Jesus got his disciples together for a meal. And when he took the bread, he blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to each one of them, saying, "This is my body." And you can hear him say, "shared," but "this is my body given for you. Take and eat." Thank you. In the same way, he took the cup then, and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood shed for you." And he said to do this as often as you do it in remembrance of him, not just because you're following the rules, but because you love him. Take and drink. We'll ask you to put the cups in the pew in front of you. I'll take yours. Now from Hebrews, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then we also read that when they were done, they sang a hymn. So let's stand and sing our final hymn together. Sharing was in there a few times. And so now as you go with the joy in your heart, remembering what God has shared with you. And as you go, may he guide you and protect you in every way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.